Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of March 17th, 2020. That's St. Patrick's Day for you guys out in the real world, and if you live in Boston, it's Evacuation Day. Evacuation Day was the day that George Washington left Boston in the 1776, I think. But it also happened to be conveniently the same day as St. Patrick's Day. So when the Irish took over Boston politics, suddenly Evacuation Day became a very important holiday. Anyway, the coronavirus whirlwind continues, doesn't it? If you're listening to this show, I would say you're probably on some kind of social distancing. Probably not locked down yet, but at some level, you're staying away from people. You've curtailed some of your activities, some more than others. If you're listening to this show, you're probably a climate hawk. If you're a climate hawk, you can watch the coverage and the events of the corona pandemic with a sort of sense that you're in a parallel universe. Because the coronavirus pandemic is kind of like climate change on fast forward, right? Everything's happening so quickly. But you've got many of the same parallels, right? You've got, in both cases, you have some sort of approaching apocalypse. Of course, in the pandemic case, we're talking about May, right, for the apocalypse. You've got the denial of science, where our president has spent weeks and weeks delaying and pretending that the whole thing's not real. And you have this appeal for action, which doesn't pay any benefits in the immediate time, right? Social distancing isn't going to pay off for another 6 weeks. And then it'll pay off in not having an epidemic, and everyone will say, it was just an overreaction. We didn't need to do the social distancing in the first place, right? Same for climate change. Reducing carbon emissions now changes very little, but in 100 years, if we manage to avoid devastation, people could look back and say, well, you know, it wasn't really that big a deal either. So there's a lot of parallels between the climate change issue and the coronavirus. But coronavirus is different in that suddenly there's lots of activity. If you've been paying attention over the last week, we have spent an awful lot, or proposed to spend an awful lot of money. $850 billion coming out of the House. Today, the administration proposed another $1 trillion. I mean, those numbers may sound familiar because they're the same scale that we've talked about for Green New Deal, where, we couldn't spend any money on a Green New Deal. That would be too terrible. But now that we're in a crisis, we can magically produce $1 trillion. And that's a good thing. It does prove that the political system has the capacity to take action when it sees a threat. And, of course, in this instance, finally, the conservative wing of our politics seems to have caught up with the fact that there's a deadly threat to the economy, and all of a sudden they're on fire. I mean, when Mitt Romney, the Mitster, former governor of Massachusetts, when he comes out and wants to have a universal basic income and give everybody $1,000, you know there's some serious fear in conservative circles about where all this is going. But in an article in Teen Vogue, climate activist Jamie Margolin hit it exactly right. She says that all the things that are happening right now do demonstrate that we have the capacity to act in a big way on a big issue. And that's a good thing to know, right? That we can actually do something. And in fact, that people, citizens, will follow authentic leadership. Right? People are doing social distancing because they know it's the right thing to do and because our leadership has encouraged us to do that. These are all good things that have analogs in how to address climate change. But as a climate hawk, we can look at the coronavirus and say, is it some kind of a watershed? Right? On the other side of this, will we be in a different kind of society? Will that society be greener or less green? Will we be better off or less well off with respect to climate change? I mean, one of the interesting things is that airline travel has dramatically dropped off, right? In fact, there's a real serious threat to the continued existence of airlines over the next few months because no one wants to travel. On this show, we've talked a lot about, or raised, at least I have raised the question of whether or not the ubiquitous presence of airline travel and being able to go to Beijing in 12 hours really is a human right that we can't live without. And apparently, right now, because there's so much less air travel, it's proving to us that, you know, we can get along without air travel. We might not have big airlines. United and Delta might go under, but, you know, the sun came up this morning, and the world might be a better place if we weren't pumping huge amounts of carbon dioxide into the stratosphere by flying useless flights back and forth. Anyway, put a pin in that, as they say. The airline thing is an interesting discussion, but not central. I guess the big question before us is that our federal government is preparing to spend an enormous amount of money to prevent the collapse of the economy. Right? Climate hawks have been asking the federal government to do the exact same thing under the guise of the Green New Deal now, because we see the collapse of society coming. Right? And suddenly, because of the coronavirus, money is produced. The money that has been denied to be available for the Green New Deal, all of a sudden we can find when the Trump presidency is imperiled. Suddenly, Mr. Trump can find $1 trillion to spend if he thinks that things are going to go under. His election is at threat because the economy's going down. So here's the deal. If our government decides to spend $1 trillion to counteract the coronavirus, and I think it's good to send people money, and because the low-paid workers are, many of them are out of work right now. It's a terrible time, so I'm fine with that. But I think that the money that's spent has to be spent as a groundwork for the Green New Deal. That is to say, if we're going to spend $1 billion, let's make sure that part of that is fair access to medical care for everyone. Somehow, just build it in. Here we have a crisis. We need to give everybody a coronavirus test. Let's make sure that that is done fairly and is the basis for future advances in healthcare. Let's make sure that we have fair labor laws built into this $1 trillion that we're going to pull out of the air. And make sure that that's the basis for the Green New Deal. I would say that the president's proposal to spend $50 billion bailing out the airline industry is not a good way to spend our money. If the airline industry can't make it through this, so be it. If people need to travel for business, well, they can pay for that travel. But we don't need to go back to the way it was 2 short weeks ago, unbelievably, where everyone can fly everywhere they want. Anyway, a lot of this is happening very quickly. The bills to spend all this money are being formed up now. It's St. Patrick's Day. They'll probably be all paid for in a week or voted through and signed in a week. Now is the time to call your congressperson and tell them that you want this $1 trillion to lay the groundwork for a Green New Deal, and that coming out the other side, the money should only be spent in a way that supports climate action after the fact, in addition to addressing the immediate economic peril of the coronavirus. Yeah, so there you go. I'll put up a couple of links, especially to Jamie Margolin's piece on the blog at massclimateaction.org/blog. If you want, send an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net if you think what I said is a good idea. Please, pass this podcast on to a friend. That's how people learn about podcasts. That's how you can take your climate action for the week, is by telling someone about the Climate Minute podcast. So we'll close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. And because of those things, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our future. So thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.